Beautiful, thank you. Beth Harrison sent me this little joke / story today, and I thought it was so appropriate for our theme of compassion and about acceptance and grace. It's entitled, "When God Sends You Help, Don't Ask Questions." A woman hurried to the pharmacy to get medication, got back to her car, and found that she had locked her keys inside. Ever done that? So the woman found an old rusty coat hanger left on the ground. She looked at it and said, "I don't know how to use this." She bowed her head and prayed and asked God to send her some help. Within 5 minutes, a beat-up old motorcycle pulled up, driven by a bearded guy who was wearing an old biker skull rag. He got off his motorcycle and asked if he could help. She said, "Yes, my daughter is sick. I've locked my keys in my car. I must get home. Please, can you use this hanger to unlock my car?" He said, "Sure." He walked over to the car, and in less than a minute, the car was open. She hugged the man and through tears said, "Thank you, God, for sending me such a nice man." The man heard her little prayer and replied, "Lady, I'm not a nice man. I just got out of prison yesterday. I was in prison for car theft." The woman hugged the man again, sobbing, "Oh, thank you, God, you even sent me a professional." God dwells in all of us. Several months ago, when the worship and the arts team were meeting, we were discussing upcoming sermon themes for the year, and I was looking for suggestions of what we could talk about and reflect on in worship. And one of the new members, Brian Stubbing, suggested that we explore what it means to be a Christian in the 21st century. And so we begin a new series to explore that question. And to do that, we have turned to Paul's letters to the earliest Christian churches to discover what it meant 2,000 years ago to be a follower of Jesus and find clues as to what that must mean now in our context in the 21st century. While times may have changed in the 2,000 years in between Jesus' time and Paul's time and our time, we now have a global economy and almost instant communication with any part of the world. We now have scientific understandings about the vastness of the universe that neither Paul nor Jesus could have known anything about. But what we had then and what is now are the same basic human struggles. What the human species is still struggling with is the same basic issue of how do we get along with one another? How are we to be in right relationship with each other? That is still the challenge for the follower of Jesus. In Paul's letter to the Church of the Colossians, which is about 150 miles east of Ephesus in modern-day Turkey, scholars believe that Paul wrote the letter while he was still in Ephesus. And he wrote it because he heard from Epaphras, who had founded the church in Colossae, that the Jewish and Gentile Christians there were having difficulty sorting out if the Gentiles needed to be circumcised like the Jewish Christians, or if it was okay to have angelic visitations like the Jewish mystics. And they are struggling with what most human beings struggle with today, which is how to be in right relationship with each other in community. So Paul reminds us today, as he reminded them 2,000 years ago, I think he was written about 52 AD, that being a community of people is hard work. It requires an awful lot of intentional qualities. It requires compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. It requires an ability to forgive one another. It requires wisdom in teaching and correcting one another on a right path. And above all, says Paul, it requires a maturity in love. But Paul reminds us that when we are able to live out those qualities, those values, we will discover unity and peace and harmony. To me, these short verses in chapter 3 of Colossians sums up what it means to be the church. Following the ways of Jesus is not about being nice. It's about a radically new way of being in community with one another. It's the way the citizens of heaven treat one another. So why shouldn't we? The very first thing that Jesus did when he emerged out of the wilderness was to create a community, because he knew that we cannot do, none of us can do life alone. We can't do the conscious spiritual journey alone. We can't grow and mature and expand into whole beings, into the fullness of God's love, which, by the way, is the vision that Knox has set for ourselves. To live into the fullness of God's love. If we are not prepared to practice how to live in community with one another, how are we going to live into the fullness of God's love? See, the way of Jesus was all about learning to live in right relationship with each other. And Jesus' hope was that intention of living in right relationship with one another, learning how to love one another as God loves, when we do that, we just might turn the unjust and judgmental and harsh ways of violence in the world upside down on its ear. The ways of Jesus, the movement of Jesus, was a subversive movement in direct counterculture to the ways of the governments of the world, which operated on power, inequality, competition, unjust sharing of resources, and violence. Does it sound at all familiar? Matthew Fox, after he was ostracized by the Roman Catholic Church as a heretic, wrote several amazing books, one of which was called A Spirituality Named Compassion, Healing the Global Village. In this book, he uplifts the radical concept of compassion as a new spiritual ethic for our time, a new religion, if you will. In the opening pages of his book, Matthew Fox quotes Thomas Merton, who spoke these words from his final talk delivered just 2 hours before his death. This is what Thomas Merton, a contemplative in the Roman Catholic Church, wrote. The whole idea of compassion, one of the values of Knox, is based on a keen awareness of the interdependence of all things living, of all these living beings, which are all part of one another and all involved in one another. Jesus promoted an ethic of compassion. A professor of mine in seminary said, Jesus was not about morality. The church got it all wrong, about do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs and thou shalt nots. He said, Jesus was all about compassion. But then the church and state went and co-opted Jesus' teachings and just created another institution that was moralistic and judgmental and about power. And the church became an instrument of violence, no better than the state Jesus was critiquing. And that, my friends, is why the modern church is still being rejected by the last few generations on our planet. because of the church's mistake in becoming in collusion with the governments of the world and becoming instruments of violence against the people rather than a community of compassion. When we go back before the time of the institutional church to the ways of the earliest Christian community that Jesus established and that Paul began through the Mediterranean, we see these values being upheld. Paul encouraged the followers of the way to live out those values which Phyllis just read, one of which Knox United adopted as one of its four core values, compassion. I love the word compassion, and in fact, each church that I've been part of that has set about to explore its values, each church has come up with that key value. I would say it's probably the key value for the United Church of Canada. Compassion. Meaning literally with the gut. Passion. It's in the very intestines of a person, the bowels. Really genuinely stopping to feel what another person feels in their gut. The Hebrew word for compassion translates womb-like. To be compassionate is to be womb-like. So when Jesus says, be compassionate as your God in heaven is compassionate, he is saying, be womb-like as God is womb-like. Isn't that a beautiful image? To hold someone with such care and tenderness and compassion that they can grow up, grow into what they are called to be, to become all that they can be, to be womb-like. At Bible study this week, our check-in was sharing with one another ways that we had received compassion from others and the ways we had offered compassion. I was so profoundly moved by each person's story of the giving and receiving of compassion. It was, there it is. That's what it's all about. Those tender moments when people were broken, going through a breakup of relationship, or they were broken because a child was ill or dying, or just going through a difficult time of health, and someone in their life had gathered around them and walked with them and loved them. Someone shared the story of her marriage falling apart and a woman she barely knew just kind of picking her up and moving her, getting to where she needed to be when she was just in shock. People sharing stories of a child that was seriously very, very ill, and friends coming alongside and carrying them through that time. To be compassionate, to create a womb for people struggling. Kindness. The word kindness unpacked from the word kin, which I shared with the children. To be kind is to recognize another as kin. To recognize that the person, the homeless person on the street, is my brother and my sister. All my relations, say Indigenous people to end a prayer. Kindness. Humility. Love that word, literally meaning earthy. To be humble is to recognize I'm made of dirt. None of us are God. None of us are perfect. We're all in the process of growing up into spiritual maturity. We're going to make mistakes along the way. To be humble means we're able to admit when we have made a mistake because we know we're made of dirt. We are a creature. Humility, a wonderful word. Meekness. Someone shared with me that the root word for meaning of meekness means controlled strength. When it says the meek shall inherit the earth, it's not about being a doormat and being walked over. To be meek means to demonstrate restraint. When you are being bullied or accused, a false accusation, it means to demonstrate restraint and not retaliate in the face of cruelty. To be meek. Patience. To give ourselves time and space and grace to grow up into maturity. To be patient with one another, says Paul. Forgiveness. Grace. If anyone has a complaint against another, talk about it and forgive each other for the ways we hurt each other, not holding grudges but letting them go. Bear with one another, says Paul. Don't give up on each other. Hang in there. Hang in there, he reminds the Colossians. People can be difficult. Bear with one another, says Paul. And teach one another, Paul says, in all wisdom, giving guidance and correction to one another when we step out of line. And above all, says Paul, after he said he's used all these beautiful words of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, teaching, wisdom. Above all else, says Paul, clothe yourselves in love. Wear love on your hearts. And when we live with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, wisdom, and love, we will find ourselves in a community of unity and peace with each other. And this is what Jesus intended for the community that we have called the church. A subversive community of love, so persuasive in its love that the hope was that it would replace greed and power, competition, moralistic judgment, violence in his day and ours. So to be a Christian in the 21st century, Paul is saying it looks like that. That's what it looks like to be a Christian in the 21st century. But I think we also need to be careful not to confuse ourselves and think the Christians are the only ones who know how to love. Jesus was not a Christian. He was a Jew who loved like that. Gandhi was a Hindu who loved like that. The Dalai Lama is a Buddhist who loves like that. There are Sikhs who love like that. Muslims who love like that. Atheists who love like that. That, I think, is the difference about being a Christian in the 21st century and in the first century. To be a Christian in the 21st century is to be as interfaith and respectful of other religions and cultures as Jesus was with the woman of Samaria and his story of the Good Samaritan. To see past the boundaries and labels and religions and labels we place on each other and simply see the face of God in one another. As Victor Hugo wrote in Miserables, to love another person is to see the face of God. And that is part of Knox's belief statement. Our belief statement is this: inspired by the teachings of Jesus, we strive to see God in all creation. Dominic Crossan, in his series, Divine Violence, Dominic Crossan, who's an Irish Catholic scholar, in this 21st century, he said, there are two kinds of Christians, and we need to be very clear about that. He said, there are those who understood Jesus as moralistic, judgmental, co-opted by the institutional church, which committed horrible crimes of atrocity, worse than the crucifixion of Jesus. And those Christians today who are trying to reclaim the very misunderstood Palestinian Jew who is calling humans to a higher standard of becoming human. Jesus was offering us an example of what the new human looks like, a new human filled with the power of God's love looks like. So he says, as a community of the church, we need to do a lot better than the Christian churches before us at learning how to love one another. If we want the new generations beyond the church to take us seriously at all. Because the God that Jesus talked about, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of compassion and kindness, the Spirit of forgiveness and grace and love is at work powerfully in the world without the community of the church. The persuasive energy of love that we call God is alive and well outside the church. And if we are to become relevant in the way that Jesus was relevant, we need to catch up with Jesus and get on with this program of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And we need to learn to love like the early Christian community tried to love. I've always thought that AA was the church. You can drive anywhere across Canada, and if you need an AA meeting, you can just look up a phone book and call it, and you can go to a meeting and find people with compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience, forgiving one another and loving one another. And you can go to a meeting like that of people. But it's hard to go across the country and call any church and find that. We'll probably get an answering machine or a locked door. To be the church is to love. That's kind of our whole mandate. So I'd like to close with this video that was created in 2015. And it was put out by the Ad Council of Diversity and Inclusion. And it was presented on Valentine's Day in 2015 in Santa Monica. And to me, this would be the church at its best, if we can love like this video demonstrates.
keeps me warm. She keeps me warm.
My heart doesn't see race. Love has no age limit.
That's my best friend.
We are neighbors and best friends.
We all have different religions, but we have universal love as well.
I love my sister.
Love is love.
Our family is no less than any other family.
Above all, says Paul, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let this be Knox. May we truly live into the values of compassion and inclusion. May we live into our belief that, inspired by the teaching of Jesus, may we strive to see God in all creation. And may Knox live into our vision of living into the fullness of God's love. May it be so. Amen.